Well, thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure for me being with you now for the next 60 minutes. I'm accompanied by Ulrike Klemm-Pöttinger, she is CFO, and by Hans Lang, who is representing our investor relations. He's head of investor relations, and most of you might know or should know the both of them. So, due to the fact that we received the information this morning that there might occur a problem in Germany because of the decision of the European Court of Justice. I think it's the right translation. I'm not convinced if it's the right translation, but anyway, you know what I mean. And what happened is that the court decided that the German light vehicle toll system, as it is designed, is not in accordance with European law. So what German politics announced just recently is that they acknowledge that the tolling system as it is designed today is not the one that will be implemented. I cannot, because we have not read the we have not really analyzed the decision of the court, because it was on short notice. We did not have the opportunity to discuss this with our partner, CTS Eventim, and with the German Transport Ministry. We do not know anyway what the next steps will be and what the implications will be. The only thing I can tell you is that it will not cause a loss to us. This is secured. So that's it. I can't tell you more for the time being, but as soon as we are aware what will go on and as soon as we will be aware about all the implications, we will announce that. So now let me just start the presentation regarding our fiscal year 18-19. We were able to increase our revenues by 6% and we exceeded 700 million in revenues for the first time in the history of the company. And on, and it's the fourth time that we increase revenues in the last 4 years. So one could say, okay, this is the normal course of business that one increases revenues, but one has to consider that we are in a project-based business, and therefore the business is a bit volatile, and it's not natural to assume that we necessarily need to increase revenues year by year. Anyway, this is our target, and we achieved our target over the last 4 years, and what we managed is to change the structure of our projects from being depending upon huge projects, a few huge projects, like it was in the 2000s and the early 2010s, to being not depending upon this tiny little number of projects, but having a broad project basis reaching from 100,000 euros up to, as the German project is or was, 1.6 billion. So this strategy worked out, and we are way more stable as we were in the past. So this gives more sustainability to the entire business. We increased our revenues in both segments, electronic toll collection and intelligent mobility solutions. and we also managed to increase our earnings before interest and tax by 14%, so more than the revenue number, and we reached 57 million in EBIT. So one could say, why did you give a profit warning after the first quarter? Well, we had delays in projects, and this was the reason why we did not manage the first quarter and even the second quarter, but had a strong and even strong third and even stronger fourth quarter of the last fiscal year. The EBIT margin reached 7.7%, which is an increase of 0.5 percentage points compared to the previous year. And due to the best financial result and due to the better tax result, we could increase the earnings per share by 67% from 2.21 euros to 3.68 euros. And at the same time, we increased the equity ratio from 37% to 38.2%, which led to the decision of the executive board and the approval of the supervisory board to propose a dividend of 1.5 euros per share to the general assembly. So our balance sheet is still pretty strong. The net investments reached 11.7 million. This is not a huge one, but we did not do any bigger acquisitions during the last fiscal year. We acquired E-Trans in the United States, which is a company of approximately six people engaged in vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-infrastructure communication. The free cash flow was negative due to an increased working capital and due to, of course, the dividend payment last year. This is not in any way a threat to us. We, of course, would prefer to have lower working capital, but due to the fact that we are in project business, this can happen. And that's what you are used for the last one and a half decade, no, not for the last 13 years, that our cash flow simply is volatile. And we are not, this means, this does not mean that we are financing losses with the negative cash flow, but this is due to the fact that we are pre-financing projects. So let me proceed to the highlights. I think I can more or less skip the highlight, which is the light vehicle tolling in Germany. This is a project which is currently under discussion due to the decision of the court. And we received the order in December 2018, and we should implement it till September 2020 and would then have a 12-15 years operations period. We formed a joint venture 50/50 with CTS Eventim in Germany, and this would not be consolidated in our revenues because it's a 50/50 joint venture, but the profit would show in our EBIT and would be consolidated on equity. The same applies, of course, to the enforcement system, which is a contract of about 100-120 million, but this shares, of course, the destiny of the tolling system as such. So let's proceed to further highlights of the last fiscal year. First is Poland. Our contract ended by the beginning of November 2018, but we were able to manage a partial extension of the contract for another 21 to 27 months. What means partial extension? We extended the core contract, which provides the core competences for tolling to our customer in Poland, and all the sub-supplier contracts were transferred to our customer. So in the past, we had revenues of about 6 to 7 million euros per month. Now it's about 2.5 million per month, but the contribution margin of this 2.4 million in real, not in absolute terms, but in relative terms, is much higher than the contribution margin of the subcontractors from the subcontractors were. Bulgaria, in Bulgaria, one has to distinguish between light vehicle tolling and lorry tolling. The light vehicle tolling was commenced in December 2018, and the lorry tolling system should commence by the beginning of 2020. We are proceeding pretty well. We don't have any problems. So that's going fairly well. The Czech Republic, you might have followed all the comments in the newspapers regarding the Czech Republic. We claimed the tender procedure, we claimed the tender contact because we were convinced and we are still convinced that this is a discriminating tender. And in spite of investigations and still pending claims, the transport minister signed the contract with the competing consortium. Anyway, we do not give up, but honestly, I would assume that we will get a certain share, but we will certainly not get the entire contract, but this is not in any way considered in our future budgets. Anyway, North America is for sure the core growth market. We gained more than 75 projects with a total value of 230 million euros last year, and we have a very strong order backlog in the United States. The only threat in the United States, which is not more or less all about North America, is the constraints on resources, on human resources, which leads to the disability to fulfill all the contracts in time. So we will have to shift contracts and revenues to the next fiscal year. That happened in the last fiscal year, and this happens in the current fiscal year. So, but this is not a problem Kapsch is confronted with, but this is a problem the entire industry, and not just our industry, but the entire IT industry has. Next is Latin America. In Latin America, we were very successful in gaining new projects and signing contracts, but these are smaller contracts. But we are pretty well positioned in Latin America, both in tolling as well as in urban environment and in traffic management for urban environments. So we signed a contract for Buenos Aires, Lima, and Panama City, and we also signed a contract for an entire mobility management system in Santo Domingo. Next one is Zambia, Africa. Africa currently is a bit of a problem for us, because we are confronted with lots of political discussions, and we for months were not reimbursed, but this could be resolved, I think, last week.
Yeah.
And now the customer in Zambia is paying as he was supposed to pay, so we can proceed with this project. Because this project is based on the principle, invest as you earn. And we stopped investing because we did not earn. Now earning is starting again, so we can start investing again and rolling out the project. Australia, as you know, Australia is our more or less core and home market. Although we are based in Europe, this is by far, in relative terms, not in absolute terms, the strongest market in the world. So now, may I hand over to Ulrike Klemperdtinger to do the presentation on the financial results. Thank you for listening to me.
So thank you very much. I'm happy to share with you very, very positive information about our financial data. I would like to continue on page 5. And the revenues, you see, we achieved 738 million, which is an increase by 6%. And the next information I would like to share is the other operating income, 13.8 million. 13.8 million includes subsidies for R&D, which is paid out in Austria, where we really like to ask for this subsidy as well. And on top, there is a second issue you should know, so that we have a joint venture created with Access. It's a kind of concessionaire, a French concessionaire, and we are sharing a technology platform, and we could charge partly of our development cost to this and got this other operating income. That's important to mention here. So due to the fact that we have a big issue to find enough resources to deliver our projects, especially in North America, we have a significant increase in our cost of materials, other production and purchase services. Here we had an amount of 323.5 million. Our staff cost increased by 6% up to 252.7 million. When you just look on the right side of this page, then you see the development of our headcount, and this development, our headcount is not going up, it's going down by 278 people, and we are slightly below 5,000, and the reason why is the ending of the manual tolling project in Poland. We handed over roughly 420 people to our successor, and therefore we have this decrease in our headcount. Yeah, proportional result of joint ventures, 1.5, is quite a low level, and would start in the future, so that we will show with an revenues of 738 million and EBIT of 57. And that's an EBIT margin of 7.7%. What about the FX impact in this EBIT? So here you see that we have a support by the FX impact by 3.6 million in comparison to previous year, where we had a burden of 5.2 million. And that's the net impact, and it's partly shown in the other operating income and in the other operating expenses. So I would like that you move on to page 6. On page 6, we continue from talking about the financial results, taxes, and non-controlling interest. So financial result minus 1.7. That was also beneficial, supported by our deinvestment of Park Jockey. So here it's included a surplus of 5.1 million from the sale of Park Jockey and a negative impact of the FX of minus 5.2 million. So the result before income taxes is 55.1. And now I would like to explain to you why we have a reduced tax rate in comparison to the previous year. So we had 36, nearly 37% in the last year, and this year 15.4. And here I can tell you that it's especially Americas has achieved a positive development in their business continuity, and we were able to activate and capitalize deferred tax asset, which supported here our result, so that we have the result for the period on the level of 46.6 million compared to 28 the previous year, a result attributable to equity holders of the firm of 47.8 million and an earnings per share by 3.68 euros, which was an increase by 67%. So that's really for us a very positive and beneficial development of our last fiscal year. And on page 7, I would like to share with you some information how and where these financial data is coming from. So you know we have two segments, ETC and IMS, and we have a solid split which we see since many years, 75% in our ETC segment and 25% in our IMS, more or less, so 76-24 in this year. We have achieved in the ETC segment an increase by 7% and revenues of 558 million and EBIT by 65 million. And here you see the EBIT margin at a level of 11.6%. That's absolutely the right direction, an increase in comparison to the previous year. So here we, of course, will push further in the future to get some improvement here as well. But the double digit is here established in a very good and solid way. When you look at the revenues by region, then I also can share with you that we have a shift from the revenues from the EMENA to Americas. So Americas has an increase. It's now 31% of our revenues in ETC and 60% we achieve in the EMEA region this year. Very great to mention as well is the number of onboard units we sold this year. It's still an increase by 800,000 pieces and units sold. So we sold 13.5 million onboard units, which has a very solid revenue and EBIT in our data as well. Coming to our second segment, the IMS segment. Here we have an increase of our revenues by 5%, so we end up revenues around 180 million, but with a still negative EBIT. Why a still negative EBIT is, as Mr. Kapsch mentioned already before, Sambio is not at the edge we would like to have. So here we had some missing revenues and profitability as well. And the second part is that this segment is it's really a strategic investment there. We do not capitalize any strategic investments, and therefore we do not have enough profitability coming out of the project to cover all these additional administrative and sales support activities as well. Yes, I think that was the segmentation. And on the next slide, and that's my last slide, which I would like to share what happens with our other key financial data, like net capex, free cash flow, net debt, and the balance sheet, our total assets and equity ratio. Net capex is at a level of 11.7 million. We had just a small acquisition this year, E-Trans, increased CapEx by 0.9 million, and free cash flow is negative because of the increase of our receivables, and we have also some increase in our inventories. We will stay at a net debt situation also for the short term view of the next year. So we are currently at the end of the fiscal year, 7374 million net debt, But you can see that the equity ratio is still on a very high level, 38.2%, and the total assets increased slightly to 678 million, which is a good result and showing a very robust balance sheet data. So, and that was my glance and view on the financial data, and now I would like to hand back to Mr. George Kapsch for outlook and medium-term goals.
Well, thank you, Ulrike. Well, the outlook for the current fiscal year in terms of revenue would be that we expect a revenue increase of roughly 5%. Well, of course, the German project could have an impact on that. We again see a slow start into the fiscal year. So not that strong first half, but a stronger second half of the current fiscal year. On medium terms, we are convinced that we will grow in both segments. Anyway, the IMS market should grow stronger than the ETC market. Again, profitability, at least for the next couple of years, will be stronger in ETC than in IMS. The EBIT margin, our goal in the EBIT margin should be that we'll be above 10%, what we always say and what we're always targeting. We did not yet reach our targets. Well, you see, in terms of electronic toll collection, we are very close with 11.7%. But in IMS, to the fact that we do lots of strategic investments in this market, we could not yet reach the 8%, which of course pushes the EBIT margin on average below 10%. Anyway, our targets will not change, and we are still convinced that these targets are achievable. There are still huge opportunities in our core markets in Europe, in North America, in Latin America, and even in Africa. Africa is the continent where you still can gain huge long-term projects. It's not an easy continent, but anyway, it's a future continent. Thank you.
We may head back to the operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to raise a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question. First question is from the line of Daniel Leon from Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I would have a few questions. Definitely the most interesting and important topic would definitely be Germany, but I understand, of course, that it's rather difficult for you also to comment on the situation for the time being. But nevertheless, I would like to maybe focus, so start with the, with your guidance, assuming, of course, that the German contract doesn't change in any aspect. When you guide for 5% top line growth and EBIT growth, would this actually mean that you don't expect profitability to increase despite having increasing revenues? So you don't expect any operating leverage kicking in? And then just to follow up maybe to this one, what have you included actually in this guidance? Would you again expect an FX devaluation of in Zambia at maybe a similar amount or extent like we've seen it in the past fiscal year? how much maybe is Germany reflected in this guidance? Just maybe to get a feeling at what's basically at risk with the German contract. This would be my first one.
Okay. There seems that there is lots of wind where you are currently.
No, actually, I'm on my office space, so there's no wind at all.
Okay. Anyway, let's address Germany. Due to confidential reasons, we are not permitted to give any guidance on what we have included in terms of revenues and EBIT contribution or contribution margin from the German project. Secondly, operating leverage. We are currently performing an operational excellence and a performance improvement program, which is not designed to reduce costs, but to increase efficiency because we currently have the problem of a lack of resources. So we need to use our resources in a more efficient way. So there should be a kind of a leverage. But as you may know, especially in the United States, we are growing heavily, and growth always first reduces efficiency and productivity before you can manage profitability and efficiency gains. But that's what we now have to do.
Okay, so this means that...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so this means that we should expect a stable profitability going forward for the time being.
Yes.
Right.
We anyway expect that our profitability should increase because that's what we are working on.
Yeah, but not necessarily now in the current fiscal year, but potentially thereafter.
Well, we gave that I always hate to give guidances, but I learned that it's necessary to give a guidance. Guidance is 5% in revenue, 5% increase. Not in EBIT margin, but in EBIT. We would appreciate EBIT margin, EBIT.
Okay, fine. I understand. Having a look on Zambia, you've had a delay now. What does this mean on the initial guidance of reaching 90 to 110 million in revenues within the first 3 years? Do you see any change to that, or do you think
certainly.
That you can catch it?
Yeah, certainly. Shifting that into the future, because addressing African countries means always to take a certain risk, and now we are a bit burned from what happened in South Africa, so we are cautious, and we follow the principle: invest as you earn, and now earning starts so that we can restart investing. But I can assure you that we'll be very cautious what we do.
Okay.
So that means
would you like to
shift?
Pardon? What does it mean?
A shifting of revenues and profits into the future.
So would you like to give us some kind of idea of how this assumption might have changed? Would we really need to expect a much longer period until when you will manage to generate, let's say, about 100 million? Does it spread now on 4 years, 5 years? What would be an educated guess from your side?
Well, I think your guess is correct.
Okay, fine. And to remain in Africa, now at the end of the year, the contract with South Africa expires. How do you see the situation in light of a potential extension? What would need to happen until so you would agree to extend this contract, because currently, of course, it's dilutive to your profitability. But on the other hand, it's definitely an interesting market and an interesting country with a lot of potential. So how do you assess the current situation, and are there already some talks, negotiation about the extensions going on? Maybe you could give us a little bit of overview.
With pleasure. So from our perspective, it's not dilutive. This is not a dilutive contract. For the time being, it was a dilutive contract, but currently it's not. And it's not a high profitable contract, but it's not a dilutive contract. And what we would expect, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but, you know, it's now mid of June, and there's no tender process started. So I would assume that we will receive an extension, and the contract foresees that the extension can be done either by 12 or 24 months. It can't be extended by 6 months, and it can't be extended by 18 months, either 12 or 24 months. And I would assume that we will receive an extension at least for another 12 months. And of course, we will. Certainly will. If a tender will be submitted, we will participate in a new tender.
Okay. Just to get a clarification, when I meant dilutive to profitability, this means that the profitability of the contract, I would have assumed that it's below your average profitability. And
okay,
so
yes, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. But it's not
It's not negative. Positive. It's not negative. No.
It's not negative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But still, you would opt for it, although it's dilutive. And,
yes. Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly, because 3% EBIT contribution is better than nothing.
Yeah, of course, sure. And then maybe a final one. Just on the taxes, as you've mentioned, you activate tax assets in the U.S. Can we now expect the lower tax rate to continue in the following years?
Well, now I hand over to Ulrike.
Thank you, Brett. No, please stay at the recommended average of 25%. That's our tax rate we use internally for our calculation also during the year. That I would take for your model.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. We always appreciate you being the first to raise questions.
Yeah, that's just coincidence, I would say.
Yeah, you have to break.
Maybe.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Christian Bader from RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got two operational questions. I'd like to ask them one after the other. First of all, most importantly, on your very strong U.S. business, you pointed out that you received a lot of new orders and that you face a shortage of skilled labor. Now, going forward, I mean, what gives you the confidence that, let's say, the revenues are going to accelerate? I mean, have you been able to hire additional skilled staff, or have the additional project managers take over more projects? That's my first question on the U.S. business, please.
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, as I told you before, we gained 75 projects and 230 million in order intake, and way more in order backlog. So the shortage of skilled labor is the core challenge. And what we now try to do, you know, our the main system design house is our facility in Austin, Texas. But what we now try to do is to spread the know-how all over the country, so to get it closer to the customers. And we need to look for skilled people, not just where we are currently located, but also maybe somewhere in Massachusetts or wherever. So that's our escape. And that's what we are currently trying to do. We have a lack of approximately 140 people. But this does not just hurt us, but the entire IT industry.
Okay, I see. Thank you. And the second question relates to your business in Zambia. I understand there was a delay regarding the payment for the first installation. Now, again, the same question. I mean, what gives you the confidence now that the customer is paying more punctual and that, let's say, the whole project performs according to the original contract?
Well, I could answer easily saying life is hope, but I think this would not satisfy you. So there were long discussions regarding who is really responsible, which ministry is responsible. Is it the finance ministry? Is it the Ministry of Transportation? And this is now clarified. We have amended the contracts. They paid what they owed us. And this makes us confident that people now understand what they need to do and how they needed to do in order to satisfy us, in order to receive what we have committed to. And what we have implemented now works quite well. So they see that they can increase their revenues by rolling out the entire system. And I think we are on a way forward, and therefore I'm pretty confident.
Okay. And is there any, let's say, resistance in the public opinion by media or, let's say, general opinion against such a system, or like it was in South Africa, or is there, what's the public opinion about it?
No, there is no resistance, and people are paying their fines. So, because this is not a tolling system, that's what one has to know. This is a law and a traffic law enforcement system. So it's speeding, it's red light enforcement, and in the next step is electronic vehicle registration, which we did not yet start because we did not receive any money.
All right, that's very clear. Many thanks.
You're welcome.
Next question is from the line of Günther Eike from Eike Trade International. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. One is with Poland, and you spoke about it to extend the contract. Are there chances that you work together with Strabag? For Strabag is very strong in Poland. I don't know if it is possible in a joint venture or otherwise. Second is question is about ESG. On one page you speak about environmental protection, and so. Are you using agency, a score agency, for your company to fulfill all these things about ESG? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the second question. Environmental protection is a core topic for us for the last 30 years. And we were one of the first ones being lead-free welding and all that stuff. And on the other hand, our company contributes to environmental protection with our products. So we are very much environmental friendly. We don't have any problems with environmental. We are not energy intense. So this is not a huge challenge and a huge topic for us. And honestly, we do not have any agency to score us. Did I answer this question?
Yes, okay.
Thank you. Poland extension. Well, I think cooperating with Strabag in Poland, first of all, Strabag has a subsidiary which is not very successful, but anyway, it has a subsidiary dealing with road tolling themselves, and I assume that it would be advantageous for us to cooperate with a Polish company instead of cooperating with Strabag. I think this would be to the disadvantage of us.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Charles Bourdais from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. First one, if I may, concerning the guidance. You guide for 5% revenues growth. Will it be achieved with an higher number of smaller projects to replace the ones coming to an end, or are you also targeting some major projects? Second one, concerning the seasonality. What is the driver for the pattern of weaker H1 and stronger H2 expected to next year? And finally, concerning Germany, well, I understand you are rather in the dark for the moment. You say you will suffer no loss, but is there a possibility of financial compensation being granted in case of the project being cancelled? Thank you very much.
Okay. I will start with Germany, financial compensation. That's what we are currently analyzing and investigating. I can't give you an answer right away because this depends upon the decision of the court, which we have to analyze in detail first, and this depends upon the negotiations with the German Transport Ministry. So, if you are addressing the question of compensation, we for sure will be compensated for what we have invested, undoubtedly. What we will receive beyond that has now to be analyzed and negotiated with the German Ministry of Transportation. The weaker Q1 and Q2 is, well, this is a pattern. This is obviously a pattern. And unfortunately, I can't really tell you why. It's always because of the shifting of projects. And projects that are shifted by the customers and one or the other project which will be shifted by ourselves due to resource constraints. And this always applies to the first half and increases our revenues and our percentage of completion in the second half. But maybe, Ulrike, you want to add?
Yeah, maybe I can add, when we look at our operation business, then you always have a slower start on also maintenance and life cycle topics which we deliver to our customer. And that's improving in the third and the fourth quarter. And that's also this kind of pattern which we can see, which we have seen in the last year, and we can see also this year that we will start with a weaker or similar like that.
Okay, your third question was the 5% increase, whether they will depending on major projects or, if I got you correctly, or a huge number of smaller projects. Of course, there are bigger projects, not huge projects, but bigger projects in the pipeline, especially in North America. And there's a huge order backlog, which should be implemented over the next 12 months. And of course, depending upon what happens in Germany, we will have a bit of a challenge. But anyway, I think if I remember correctly, you said that there are huge projects coming to an end. Well, Czech Republic is coming to an end now, but this is already reconsidered, or no, not reconsidered, this is already part of our budgeting process. The same applies to South Africa, and which should not come to an end, hopefully, and the reduced revenues from Poland. So this is all, everything is considered in our budgets. Did we answer your three questions?
Yes, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone who has any further questions at this time may press star followed by one on their touch tone telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Daniel Leon from Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one follow-up on the, as it seems, big potential of the congestion charging in New York. What's your view on this potential, and could you assess a timing maybe on when this contract could be decided?
Well, first of all, I think we are positioned pretty well because we'll offer a technology no one else has. Frankly speaking, I don't know about the exact timeline.
Okay, so nothing short term, rather.
No, I would guess this is not short term. This is medium term.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Next question comes from the line of Felix Lutz from FMR Research AG. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. Just a quick one on your personnel situation. Is the shortage in personnel capacities worldwide, or is it, for example, in Africa, where it seems that you have big opportunities, a possibility to increase the project capacities there? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Well, this primarily applies to North America. This is the major challenge. The second challenge is in Austria, where we cannot find sufficient capacity. Anyway, the major concern is and the major challenge currently is in the United States. What we try to do currently is, of course, shifting capacities from one region to the other, and to support regions, especially from people from Belarus to other countries in the world, because they are very well skilled, highly skilled people, and we can use them all around the world. But this is also limited capacity. But what we try to do is to shift capacities around the world, wherever it's possible. Anyway, one has to consider that you need working permits as well.
Okay.
They are not always easy to achieve. But Africa is a specific situation, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ulrike, we don't shift capacitors from south from Africa to somewhere else in the world.
No.
Okay.
That would not fit for the moment.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Hans Lang for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you all very much for dialing in and for your interest in the company and the results and everything that's been happening today. Looking forward to talking to you again on the 20th of August when we will release our Q1 numbers. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you.